This is a HeadGum Podcast.
This episode of the podcast is brought to you by the Fine Dining Podcast. Caroline, do you like to dine finely?
I do, because it rhymes with my name.
Caroline, dine fine, drinking water, drinking wine.
With Diane Feinstein.
With Diane Feinstein. RIP. Fine Dining, the search for the most mediocre restaurant in America, is a podcast where comedian Michael Ornelas is traveling the country, eating at all the chain restaurants in search of the perfectly average 5 out of 10 dining experience. The objective middle threshold of where bad becomes good, which if you listen to this podcast, you're very familiar with the concept.
With a 5 out of 10 experience.
And bad maybe becoming good as God saves us. Recently, featured guests include Marissa Pinson and John Glover as they review Costco's Food Court. It's a two-part episode that covers everything from discontinued menu items to how many hot dogs could fit in their mouths. And today, his IHOP episode dropped. So right now, head over to linktree.com/finediningpodcast and click Bee's Giveaway to enter for an all-expenses-paid trip to your local Applebee's, the current frontrunner for the most mediocre restaurant in America at a 5.02 out of 10. For you and three of your friends. And you can watch or listen to Fine Dining on your platform of choice while you're there. Caroline, who would you take?
Oh my gosh.
Applebee's.
If I got a table for four at Applebee's.
Yeah.
Obviously, the love of my life, Nathan, going to be there.
My fingers are crossing.
Who likes chain restaurants?
I'm getting a nosebleed.
Oh, probably my friend Jeremy.
Oh,
okay.
I know him.
That leaves one more. Let me ask you a question, Kevin.
Yeah.
If you were going to order an Applebee's right now, what would you get?
I'd get a fried onion if they had it.
All right, you're in.
So okay.
As long as we can share.
Hell yeah. Listen to Fine Dining on your platform of choice while you're there. Enter by May 1st, and the winner will be announced on the May 8th Chipotle episode. That's linktree.com/finediningpodcast. Now Wednesday has come. Gotta do another song that is dumb. It's for this podcast. Need to pull something out of my ass.
Cause the show comes out every 7 days. And if you don't laugh, then you go away. So please laugh, rate, subscribe, even do Patreon. I am desperate.
Oh man.
So please laugh.
And it's not funny.
So please laugh.
The best kind of love that I know.
So please laugh.
I need validation.
So please laugh.
To keep me from ending the show.
We listened to the Jars of Clay album Much Afraid, and we're going to talk about it today on Good Christian Fun.
So please laugh.
Okay. Hey, bang. Hey, bang. I'm not the
bitch of
another word.
You got me straight tripping, boo.
I forgot about Roseanne.
She made a mistake. We've all made mistakes.
Hey, we all have.
Hey. Welcome to Good Christian Fun. I'm Kevin.
I'm Caroline.
And we're here to have some good Christian fun. I've said in the past that the theme song is unlistenable. As of episode 61, it is officially unlistenable.
There's some kind of beat still there that I can kind of follow if I listen closely. But I'm not listening closely. I'm having a good time.
And is the goal to keep layering on so many clips to the point where we do change it to a new song or just keep doing it until the end of the show?
I'm going to leave that up to you, Kevin. I like either of those options.
Okay. Great. Well, Good Christian Fun, of course, is the podcast where we talk about Christian pop culture, the best pop culture, according to Christians.
That's right.
Christian movies, music, entertainment, Christian rock, Christian stand-ups, Christian speakers, and
we're getting our hands in all the little media out there.
We're putting our, what is it, fingers in a lot of pies?
Yeah, well, in a way of speaking.
A lot of irons in the fire, a lot of...
But not that many.
No, not that many.
Because we are Christians.
One finger, one pie, like God intended.
Forever. Golly. It's 30 seconds in.
30 seconds. No, we're good, like 2 minutes in.
Oh, okay. Well, then, bitch and fucking fart.
Bitch and fucking fart. All right, on that note, the topic for today is Jars of Clay, the
album. Back around.
Well, a little peek behind the curtain. We're recording this very shortly after Halloween. But this is a spooky album because it's Much Afraid. Oh. And they're scared.
Were you much afraid last night?
Mm-hmm.
About the little children coming to your door asking for candy?
I thought they would make fun of me.
And you thought, like, hey, this is usually my thing.
It's usually my thing? What part of it is...
All right. Our guest is laughing.
My thing. Wow, it must be funny. Guest litmus test. Well, speaking of our guest, let's introduce her right now. Ladies and gentlemen, she's a dear friend of ours. She, oh God.
Oh, Jesus.
She is a stand-up. She's got her show, Let's Stand Up, and you can see her every Friday in December at the Weston Comedy Theater in Santa Monica. Ladies and gentlemen, please give it up for Caitlin Warehouser.
What a flourish.
That's the first time I've accidentally interrupted the guest intro. Yeah. Before, it's been on purpose. Were you? Is this familiar?
Oh yeah,
this was a hit in the Warehouser household. Growing
up? Oh no, I had to go to another household to get like into Christ.
Amy,
do you have any Amy Grant hot takes?
Not really. We did have Amy Grant growing up, like mm-hmm. in the house, mm-hmm. and then my mom died, and that was kind of the end of that.
Oh,
like my dad wasn't like keeping that album in rotation.
He wasn't like, rolling. I will carry the torch of Amy's.
Yeah, no.
Gotcha.
He went ahead and let that one collect some dust.
Baby is my life song.
I will say, we've talked about Sandy v. Amy. There was a couple weeks ago, and we haven't really talked about it since it happened, but I was up until like May 1:30, 2 in the morning, sending Caroline videos via text, knowing she was asleep. I know when she goes to bed, generally, unless it's an exceptional night.
Yeah.
And there's one of Sandy Patty and Amy Grant doing El Shaddai, a duet.
Oh, yeah.
And I texted you, this is my Batman v Superman.
That's right.
Oh, my God.
But I will say, there's a clear winner.
There's is it?
A clear winner of that duet.
Is
oh, yeah.
It Amy?
Well... We might have to save that for a special ep.
Interesting.
But let's just say it's a clear
teasers.
Order. Yes, teasers. Teasers and pleasers, like our guests. Caitlin, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank
what's
you so
your
much for having me.
What's your history with faith and religion and God and stuff like that?
I was born into a family that evangelical, kind of fundamental Baptist. We were out in the middle of the woods in like Oregon. Mm-hmm. Southwest Eugene, really far out there. Our church was a grange, complete with bats and bat poop.
Wait, what is a grange?
It's like a barn, but less bougie.
So yeah. Barns are fancy.
It's a barn for people who aren't pretentious.
Yeah, like mm-hmm. Jesus would have wanted. It's just a big building. You know the first house that you draw as a 2-year-old?
Yes,
it's
yeah.
that shape. It's exactly that.
Okay.
And there's no feature.
There's no loft. There's there nothing. Was, it's just
oh gosh. It's just a loft for what?
Excuse me.
I'm Satan gets
I've grown up very rich, so we always had lofts.
There was
so
like
just
a
basically like the
kitchen.
Outline of the building.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
And then surrounded by snakes and blackberry bushes.
And bats, you said?
Oh yeah. Full of bats.
Oh,
mostly bats.
That'll test your faith.
Yeah. That is so scary. That is like forging a weird type of Christianity there, like a Batman
Frontiers
hybrid Christian.
I used to hate it Frontier if people. We stayed over. Like a couple really good things about the church growing up with this Baptist like community is that our mom did die in 89. So I was like 6. My sister was 3. My brother was like 11. And we were just like absorbed so lovingly into so much of the community. Mm. So I grew up with like a handful of godparents and like families who had kids also in Sunday school would just like take us and just take us, just take us away from my dad to help raise us.
Were they like formally your godparents in the way that we traditionally think of it, or
no? Because everything's just like real scaled down in like poverty country. Like, so it was like,
were two of them bats?
Yes.
Sorry.
Be honest. Yeah. Were two of your godparents bats?
And they would just squeak to me verses.
They helped me find all the best fruit. Fruits of the spirit are kind of a thing. I'm sorry.
Love, joy, peace, and blood.
Jeez. I'm sorry. I shouldn't make fun of you.
The
bat flake range.
Getting real excited. I did have like a official set of like unofficial grandparents that did kind of function as our godparents. That we would like literally walk in. Crystal Madison would literally walk in her garden and like talk about our relationship with God and what God is and Jesus and all that stuff. And then Mike was the first person who taught me how to like work on cars. So like those were official.
That is amazing when churches can do that. And just
very good.
Oh, these kids were, they're ours now. Like, yep. Community kids, and we're going to take care of them, make sure they're okay.
We were forever referred to as, oh, those Weyerhaeuser kids. we were adopted really lovingly. And one of my least favorite things growing up in the church is if we'd stayed over with one of the godparents, one of the families that had been designated to like open the Grange on Saturday night to Sunday morning, it was the most wretched job in the world. The building would be like sub-zero temperatures and just like cold and creaking. We had to like start the wood burning stove in the middle of the room to like get the heat going and like sweep up the bat poop and like put the little coffee thermos out like set up the church. And then it was just like 100 folding chairs, and that's the whole thing.
Were there a lot of kids in that church too, or was it like a dozen?
As a kid's perspective, it felt like a ton, because that's your whole world.
Yeah.
We were homeschooled until my mom passed, and then we had to go to public school. Some of the kids that I went to Sunday school with stayed homeschooled. I'd say about half and half went to public school and stuff, but it felt like, and the families that were there, there was like 8 kids per family.
Whoa,
so it felt like a lot. Yeah. But really, the community was so small. So there was only like 6 families. That's like a lot of kids.
Like, there's a city of children. Exactly. We run this place.
Yep.
And so that was like circumstantially what was happening. What was going on with like your perspective on God during that time?
I felt like I messed up so early. I was such an early reader and so into story and books and anything I could get my hands on, I would read. And in my head, I accidentally coded all stories as stories, as things that we tell each other to communicate kind of
fictional,
bigger principles and morals and lessons. And so I remember there being a huge, oh no moment. I was like in my bed reading my cartoon Bible, like the
the illustrations.
Yeah, you know the one. And talking to my dad about it and being like, well, yeah, I mean, it's not like these aren't like real. And he was like, no, like they're supposed to be. Like, you try to be graceful. Like, yeah, no, we believe them because they're real stories.
Oh, no, we don't. Like, wait.
And you mocked him mercilessly.
Wait, what? And everything crumbled.
Yeah.
It was like, no, we don't actually believe like Goliath and the whale swallowed that guy? What? Like, I get it metaphorically. I understood it metaphorically way before.
How old were you when you were having this conversation?
Yeah.
6.
That's so aware. Yeah. That's amazing.
But
yeah.
I just
like, oopsie doodles.
I must think that a lot of kids like that who are really kind of prolific readers of that time.
Or like, get it.
Yeah, when it becomes like delicious and you do see stories and books as being like, you learn, I guess, almost like literary criticism and discernment from that perspective, how it would be really easy to do that with biblical stuff too.
There, it's representational. Yeah. And you're like, I get it. Same with like, and I was obsessed with wrestling at the time too. I was like, I get this is all, this is like representational. These are like character, like farces. Like,
yeah.
I get it. They're not really mad at each other.
Paul is Stone Cold Steve Austin.
I had a really deep obsession with Andre the Giant.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
Did you watch the documentary?
Yeah, I've watched it a couple times. But I got like, yeah, representationally, that's like Andre the Giant is like Goliath, right? Mm-hmm. And like sometimes the little dudes take him down, but you know, might trumps. Oh no, y'all really believe in Noah?
Okay, I'm out. Like I didn't. Wait, really?
That's funny. Were you all, just as skeptical of like Santa and Easter Bunny stuff too?
Yeah, that was ruined. I had an older brother.
Oh, he
and
told
the
him.
Church didn't like love Santa.
Right.
It didn't like hate Santa, but they were saw, like,
we're suspicious of Santa.
I do. Maybe we can this December, but I really do want to explore the kind of hot and cold relationship the church does have Santa. With Santa as a cultural figure.
It is
so
funny.
Complicated.
Yeah. Because it's like.
We like him as a saint. Yeah. You know, Saint Nick. Oh, Christian. Sure.
Saving Christmas. We've all
loves,
seen it.
He is loves God. And then there's Coca-Cola drinking Saint Nick, which I'm just, no thanks.
Yeah.
He's crossing out Jesus from Christmas.
And it's like, we like anyone who's getting people excited for Christmas, but
not about you.
Right. Not that one.
Yes.
Yeah. That's funny for you because I feel like a lot of kids can put like Jesus, Easter Bunny, Santa sort of in the same category of their brain for a while. And then that can be like a tumbling of down and be like, well, if Santa's not real, then God. You also told me God exists and he's not here either. So, but you just kind of skipped ahead.
Yeah. Like, I was so into the like idea of what the Bible, like what the Bible stories were. Until they like told me, until it was like forced that like, no, this happened. And I was like, okay, I'm out.
Yeah,
like, this
yeah. is ridiculous. But you could pull
those
meaning
were great
from
stories.
It. But they weren't, yeah, like.
And then looking back and be like, those were that great stories. Sorry.
I feel like that it's funny because it's so specific and really personal in this instance, what happens. But I feel like sometimes that can happen in processing art and consuming stuff where it's like, I saw this movie and to me, blah, 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 man, da, 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 da. And then you, like, listen to the commentary track, and the guy's like, well, it was about this. I'm like, shit. And so it's just that. And it really, yeah. And yeah. I think it's something we talked about before, like, the relationship art and, like, biblical text has to who is the authority. Like, is it inherent to the author, or is it inherent to the listener, the viewer, the audience member, the interpretation, who's
right.
like
your personal relationship yeah. with the art. Or
because
with,
yeah. for you as a 6-year-old, it was like, well, no, I think I got it. Like, whether it was the author's intent or not, it was like, I can understand why this is rich
exactly.
for such and such reason. And I don't want to narrow it by having to put it in a box.
To make it
in
literal.
A literal. Exactly.
Yeah.
I think part of it was that cartoon Bible, though. Like, you can't make a cartoon out of something and be like, no, this is factual.
This is divine.
I was reading, like,
the
other,
sheep, I believe.
Yeah,
in.
Other graphic novels. I was already reading comics. I was like, no, I get it. They're all like kind of, they're all fictional.
Well, yeah. And that is, that's a funny visual because I feel like that's kind of a referendum sometimes in modern evangelical culture. Like Mark Driscoll. Heard of him?
Yeah.
He was like the pastor in Seattle who left the church due to pride issues, Mars Hill Church, blah, blah, blah. But anyway, one of his big talking points is we want to take Jesus off the felt board. And that's kind of become a talking point, I feel like, in the last 15 to 20 years where it's like, oh, it's not just like fun little stories and little parables wow. about morality, the Veggie Tales stuff. It's like, take him off the felt board. Jesus was a man and he had muscles and he was a carpenter. This shit's real and Judges 300 and that sort of thing.
Damn.
Yeah, Mark Driscoll right? was like very aggro masculinity with his faith too.
Of
it was
course.
A really weird thing
it's
that
weird
he
that,
went with.
That there's not more of him. Because
yeah, it is
how
weird. But I think actually in general, and I'm making such a generalization, but like I think a lot of men who are drawn to being pastors or speakers are naturally probably a little bit more like bookish and like have a lot of like ties to their feelings and things like that. So I think that's probably why we don't have as many like, you need to go build some shit to be a Jesus follower and stop being so wimpy. Like that was his thing. It was like, stop being so wimpy and whatever, and like God is a God of judgment also and all this kind of stuff.
But anyway, so when that happened for you, was the faith like just kind of gone or did it more
I thought about it so much. C.S. Lewis was like my favorite author growing up, and the first book that I like read with the help of my brother was like one of the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, like one of the Narnia Chronicles. And I love that so much. Like I have a bit about how I didn't realize for way too long that it was about Jesus the whole time.
Yeah.
That's a lion.
Wait, what?
There's like
wait, which what's about Jesus?
Druids in there.
The one that dies and gets resurrected.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
By the way, Netflix just bought it.
Spoiler.
I cannot wait
for a gritty reboot of Narnia.
What's the take?
A dark, bloody reboot of
that
Narnia.
Witch is going to get so badass.
Is Aslan going to go into the Upside Down?
I think you've heard this bit. I was like, it's so long about like my relationship with Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe and the candy and like Turkish Delight. So, like,
I think about Turkish Delight all the time.
They're garbage.
They're not so good. Gross. Well, I've had some good ones, and then there's some that are also trash.
He just betrayed his whole family.
You betrayed your family candy. For this like Jello adjacent candy.
Yeah, rose water. What are you?
Just like Jesus in the pieces.
Slytherin.
Mm-hmm. Slytherin. Whoa, wait a minute. Why don't we get into mythology?
Although, I read that book recently for another podcast that does like children's books. And I will say hashtag I stand with Edmund, because I think upon reading that book again, he is abused by all of his siblings. They hate him. They're
he's
so
a
mean
bitch.
To him.
Sorry, can I say that?
No.
But he like didn't used to be a bitch. And then he went to a mean school. Like they mentioned that briefly. And I don't know if you read it, but Peter is just like so rude to him all the time and always assumes the worst. And he is a little bitch, but I feel like he is a redeemable little bitch.
He's a bad baby. And he's mean as hell to the youngest.
Yeah, he
and
does
gaslight
her.
He's just a little rotten ass. He's rotten.
Read it again. You'll have a different
bad
feeling.
Baby.
Caroline, will your memoir be called Redeemable Bitch?
I'll call me Irredeemable Bitch.
Oh, nasty.
That's so
and
good.
And you sticking your tongue out and giving the finger while holding a Bible.
Butt out.
Okay, so that's Lewis was one of your faves.
Love that. Thought about it. And then after my mom passed, we, like, the kids, we kind of stayed involved with the church family. So we were still brought to church, but my dad kind of stopped going for the most part. Like, he was working full time, now raising three kids by himself. Church didn't play a huge part. My mom was the one that was way more into the church. We also had kind of a nasty experience much later that I found out with her memorial service, and that the pastor at the time just used it as a rip-roaring opportunity to bring people to Jesus. You know, redemption in Christ and hellfire and the whole thing. And that God has a plan. And like that actually broke one of my good friend's faith as well, because he's much older than me. But hearing his dad talk about like that, God has a plan for everything. And then looking literally to these three kids who just lost their mom in a freak car accident. And he's like, this isn't. Are you kidding? Like, this isn't a plan.
Yeah.
So we were out of the church or away from it for a long time. My dad remarried, second wife, kind of a nutbag. and by kind of a nutbag, I mean full blown.
Big nutbag.
So they were married for like 7 years. So when I was about fifth grade age, I got in with like a clique of friends, and one of them became very, very close. And her family kind of adopted me as something that I want to do is get adopted out to other families. And they started bringing me to church with them. Not in like a creepy way, just like is a loving, awesome family. So I got back into the church when I was about 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. And that's when I came, like, that's where all this music ties.
Oh, yeah, because like, this is like youth group times.
This is all from like 94 to 97. Oh, the peak.
The heady
such
years
a heyday.
Of CCM.
Such a heyday. Yeah.
What did you enjoy when you went with them, or was it kind of like, oh, I'll tag along?
I loved it because of the type of church we were going to. It was like Church of God, Friendly Street Eugene, shout out, because I think they still, are doing
great
things.
They were called Friendly Street
Church? Yeah, it was on Friendly Street in Eugene.
Oh, how lovely.
Friendly Street Church of God.
That's great.
And they were really, really active in youth activity and outreach, and they structured it in the way that I really liked and took to, which is like a fellowship and peer support. So like any youth group, it's mixed age for part of your like Sunday school experience. So you would have age specific, and then you would go to the bigger group with younger and older.
Okay,
and I think that's such a valuable experience for adolescents and youth to grow up. Same with like sibling structure and family. It's so important to have like older and younger, being responsible for the care of younger and being kind of taking like looked after by elders. So that I just loved. And then as like a, you know, middle schooler, hanging out with high schoolers is like such a big deal.
I couldn't imagine anything cooler.
Yeah. They are so cool and funny.
Shouts out to Angela Marvin, a girl in high school that came over to me, a weirdo sixth grader in youth group, when I was sitting by myself and just started talking with me and
so
was very
nice.
Sweet.
Yeah.
And that sort of thing. It trains your, I think, being on both ends of that sort of relationship where you can be like a big brother or sister or a little one. it trains your mind well for just like getting out of your own head and selfless. And I know there's like infrastructures, obviously, outside of like youth group and church, yeah, where you can do that. But I feel like that is a nice thing when it's done well, it's properly, healthily. Yeah, that's really,
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, church gives a lot of opportunity for kids to like do music and then to also like be in leadership at like a very young age, mm-hmm, or just be involved in a very young age, mm-hmm, or like have responsibility, which is kind
of
neat.
Friendly, yeah, Street Church, yeah, of God, still kicking.
Hey. Oh, yay.
That's also right in Live Nativity. Kind of amazing at it, not to brag. I mean, I think that's,
who are you?
The last thing I'm supposed to do.
Yeah, with the not to brag. Oh, the story of Jesus' humble birth.
True humility. I was amazing at sitting super still in the winter.
What were you?
Everything. We switched roles.
Oh, great.
The angel is real hard because you have to like hold your arms out.
Oh, yeah. That's
to the side the entire time. And then just burn. Make eye contact with your best friend and just like
try to get him to break.
Yeah. You just like stare at the middle of their forehead and their like eyes become one cyclone. And you're just like trying not to laugh. And then Mother Mary, you like sit with your hands folded. The archangel was like the big one, and that's like up on top of the manger. It was like all the different scenes like that's throughout cool. around the entire block. I play
and
a bunch
baby
of
baby Jesus, you're grabbing a boob. If yeah, you're Simon Birch,
there,
in the movie,
right.
Simon Birch.
Simon yeah. Birch messed with me as a kid. I should not have seen that so young.
It's bad. It's bad.
Anyway, I got to be Mary one time in a live nativity, and that was like
I didn't
the
know
honor of my life. Yeah.
When was this?
This was third okay. or fourth grade.
Wow.
I felt so important. I felt very good.
Is that when you realized what an irredeemable bitch you were?
That's when I realized I was a big bitch. I didn't know yet. I was an irredeemable bitch. Yeah.
Really good.
That was exciting. Anyway.
It is.
It felt like being cast as like the most beautiful woman in the world, mm-hmm, for some reason.
Sure. Sure.
So yeah, I got really back into the church. And it was a big part of like the social aspect. So we went to a really small school again. Like we went to a slightly bigger school, but still very small and outside of Eugene, like 20 minutes out. So being able to come into Eugene, into town. Mm. And it was the first time, like we like organized the kids' Halloween, whatever, haunted little maze we built cool. for them and like put on like plays with the kids. So it was also how I was like staying in theater, involved in theater. And then I stayed in theater throughout nice. All of high school, even after church involvement stopped. So yeah, it was a lot of good things.
As this 6-year-old skeptic now coming back into the church world and knowing what you did about the Bible and those stories, did you find it difficult sometimes to get on board with like the spiritual aspect of that church stuff?
Yeah, but everything was difficult at the time. It all felt, I kind of put it all in the same like category of like, oh, we're all, this is all performative, right? Every mm-hmm. ounce of like peer pressure to dress a certain way, do you know what I mean? To like have the cool clothes or whatever mm-hmm. and like wear the makeup and like just gender performance, like just yeah. I'm a girl, I'm a straight girl,
good at being girl.
It was all performative,
yeah,
and I wanted all of it to be true, mm. you know what I mean? I wanted to just be this like virtuous street girl who mm. like believed in Jesus and like married a high schooler, like those were all, I wanted all those things. This is also where I read almost all of the Bible. Like wow. deep study stuff. Wow. I wasn't absorbing it and like meditating on a lot of it, but it was just like getting through it. And that's how so much of it felt. If you've ever had like the Bible challenge, whatever, to get through the, you know, mm-hmm. to get through the whole goddamn thing. You're
next
not-
year, GCF listeners, hey. Follow along with us.
Bible challenge.
Our listenership craters.
Test your faith.
The Leviticus. That's like the dry lands.
There's
everyone.
So many books.
There's
like
a lot.
That.
Nerd.
So yeah, you're not absorbing a lot of it, but you're going through the motions. Look at me go. And I'm following. Look at me. Look
I'm
at my finger go
this.
Down that page.
Yeah.
Look at me go. And I'm highlighting and I'm taking notes and I'm making marks just to show that I've been there. And yeah. like, yep, look at me go. And I'm,
yeah. So
like,
the rainbow of a young youth group member's Bible, the markings.
Oh, they hate Bible. No, they hate rainbow. Sorry.
Oh, I just meant the different highlighters, but I see that perspective as well.
Actual rainbows, please.
Yes.
Yeah, but there were a lot of like extra highlighted Bibles, a lot yeah. of notes. I was like, you can't even read that thing
small
anymore.
Handwriting we've talked about
get
before in the show.
Yeah. Margins.
No, oh, yeah. Margins. Oh,
flowers.
Gosh. What was one of your go-to notes, Caroline, when you were like taking notes in the margin? Like,
oh.
I need to remember that. Or like, right. I am his. He is my. Like, because I
probably.
I feel like I can remember things like that. Like, I need to live like this is true or something like words.
Yeah, it was
like,
a lot of that or a lot of like, remember this, yes. Caroline. Or
pray
something
on
like
this.
That.
Pray on this. Pray on this was mine.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, the friendship kind of melted away and the relationship with the church followed suit. And it was like freshman year of high school, you know, where, like a lot of radical change kind of happened socially, et cetera. And then I came away from, so by the time I was like sophomore, I think I was just completely onto another friend group or lack there. I don't know, but wasn't involved at all in the church anymore.
Was your friend sad about it? Did she ever reach out or?
No, I don't know why. I can't remember why we stopped being friends, but I know we had like some kind of fight or some kind of separation. Mm. And I think we were on relatively good terms throughout high school. It was a tiny high school. You can't like miss somebody. Yeah. It's really hard to blank somebody. Yeah. It's brutal to blank somebody in high school that small.
Yeah.
You're just
trying to go
you're with
someone
them all
like
day.
That.
Yeah. There's only 100 kids in our
Caroline's
class.
Caroline's doing some really good visual
some
comedy
blinders.
Right now.
Exactly. Yeah. I can see.
We're not horses. We weren't meant to live like that.
It's gratifying though.
Yeah.
So yeah, I kind of, oh yeah, this is, none of this is, this isn't for me.
Yeah.
There was a lot of clues along, you know, kind of a breadcrumb trail along the path of anytime they kind of touched on condemning homosexuality, anytime there was kind of racist overtones, and there were a lot, looking back at some of the sermons and some of the passages and how they conveyed them in terms of like immigration. And a lot of times the messages were good. And that like old way of Christianity, I want to say, because I don't think that we remember that it's openness and loving and giving of oneself and like the importance of fellowship and turning the other, like all these kind of tenets. Mm-hmm. They were definitely there, but there was also some like, oh, wait, what did you say?
Like shockingly harsh stuff. I know what you mean. Yeah.
That kind of polluted on the way. So when I broke away from it, it was like, yeah. This is stupid.
Yeah, it didn't feel like, oh, no.
But it wasn't all stupid. Yeah. It wasn't all stupid. It was just the stupid parts outweighed the...
Yeah, you don't sound angry about it.
No, anger came later.
Tonight.
Rip roaring. Here we go.
Wait a minute.
The anger came bitterly, came out so bitterly as I came out. Because my coming out was so slow and in so many weird little tiny phases. And every time I had like any kind of like self love or like acceptance of self, it was a memory in the back of shame and suppression. And like, this is, it's just not any of those things. Being in the church, I think at that age taught me to be a way better liar too, which is kind of a bummer.
It will teach you how to dodge and avoid the truth and avoid people if you want to.
And there is the call constantly to get, you know, put, give yourself to Jesus again, put your, you know, let it all go, let it all out. But all you're really doing is like, I'm perfect and I've been perfect this entire time. And like, I just want to be perfect in front of everybody behind me at church camp today. And I'm going to go and, you know, put hands, rest hands or whatever, lay hands.
Oh, there's some of that happening?
Oh, yeah. And like, we went to some pretty radical church camps where it's that peer mentality and like the peer madness, social madness of singing songs all together. It kind of opens up your heart and your brain is just like firing off all these chemicals of like, yes, this is good.
Yes,
this is good.
And the music and the drums and the like surrounding it and hearing voices.
It appeals to like lizard brain. And it's just like,
It could be really moving too. It can be like really profound and
then
good.
Someone like rededicates their life to God, and then you're all just like, yes, back in.
But it can also later you'd be like, wait, I don't know what that meant at all. Yeah.
It's like the hangover the next day. Like, wow, so that was crazy, right? And you're
Christ
just talking
hangover.
To your Christ hangover, Holy Spirit hangover. You had too much Holy Spirit.
And you were drunk with the Lord last night.
No, it's the only kind of drunk I get.
Well, I was just wondering now, even in talking about it, if this is something that has dissipated with the rise of social media, because I feel like something about having cameras on you at all times would make you less likely to
let loose.
Kinda. Yeah. I would be afraid that someone's like Snapchatting.
No one's taking videos during church, though.
Yeah.
Well,
dare they? Say,
witnessing?
No. Not. We don't know what kids are doing at their mm-hmm. age now. Yeah.
All my Insta stories.
Church live stream. Yep. On IG. So, you know, someone might be periscoping you getting slain in the spirit. You don't know. So I would wonder if it's harder to get out of your head because of that. Because
yeah, that's interesting.
I wonder if it's more appearance.
Teens, right in.
We have had some teens, right?
We do have some teens. Yes. Yeah.
Shouts out. You're the future. Don't screw it up.
Oh, and don't let anybody put their fingers inside of you at church camp. It's not holy. It's not what God wants.
That was going to be my next talking point.
Please don't. Yep. Yeah.
It's still, regardless of your relationship with God, it's what you don't need it. They have not washed their hands. Get them out of there.
Did you say inside of you or on you?
It's a lot of fingering. Church camp.
Wait. What church camp is this?
Out by Detroit Lake.
Oh, that sounds terrible. Give us the address. We'll go talk to them.
We'll go infiltrate.
Oh, gosh.
Find out about the social media.
Good grief. Did you ever see that movie, Jesus Camp? We got to talk about
it
on this show.
Yeah. Was it one of the McColt? No. Who's in it?
Ted Haggard might have been in it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, was that the smashing of the...
Pumpkins?
Pumpkins Bill and the Corgan. Mugs?
It might have been. I just remember there's a cutout George W. Bush. I haven't seen it yet.
I haven't
just
seen
saw
it
the trailer,
either. Yeah.
I think I've seen it, and they do a lot of like not casting out, but basically
exorcism.
It's kind of the same, but it's they like smash mugs. They have like words smash printed on mugs, like little coffee mugs, and these kids are just like,
it's like a demonstration of like getting rid of sin or something.
Yeah, renouncing.
Oh, that's interesting.
Stop
the sin of caffeine.
Did you guys ever have this happen at a church camp or something like it, where there was a cross at the front, and then you had to write down like your sin on a post-it note, and then during like a quiet worship song, everyone would walk up and put their sin on the cross.
I didn't do that, but I saw.
No, I would hate that, though.
That's so vulnerable.
I went to a church where you wrote it on the cross.
Oh, okay, yeah.
With the wood burning.
Wow, so they had crosses and crosses to burn at
yeah.
this church.
Well, no.
That's extras.
A very different church.
Yeah.
Kids, we're going to teach you how to burn
did
a cross.
Did you also wear a white hood?
Yeah. And
oh,
I just
Caroline,
thought
that
was just
like. Bad news. No.
Just
Caroline.
To like be anonymous, like get out of your
we
head.
Need to talk
not worry
to you
about the social norms.
The Holy Ghost, we're going to dress up as him. And he's very pointy on top.
He's kind of a dunce.
The Holy Spirit is definitely the dunce of the Trinity. So he's good grief. I've heard people describe him as the drunk uncle that shows up at
oh,
family
yeah.
reunions.
Just like, oh yeah,
he's like, yeah, he's a part of this, but he's
yeah, no
on
one,
the outskirts.
Not a lot of people are like, I was talking to the Holy Spirit
and
today.
Conservative. Yeah,
the way
they'll
you went
say
about Jesus.
I'm talking
you know?
To God. I'm talking yeah, to Jesus. Uh-huh. Yeah, in
no,
order
you just
of weirdness.
Get drunk with the Holy Spirit.
That's exactly.
Like, you know, traditionally they referred to the Holy Spirit as a she. It was like a female part of the
and community. We hated that.
And I got rid of that, yeah. Yeah.
I don't have to go.
Yeah.
Who did? Well, like, in what context?
All
oh,
the men.
Gosh. This is where my research runs out. But I think it was like either early church times or something like that. Or the Holy Spirit, I think, was like genderless. I think it was an it for a while. Huh? And then they just called it a she, just like colloquially.
And they were like, pronouns are hard.
And then they were like, women. And then like, it's a he. Yeah.
Well, I mean, this like translation stuff, RIP Eugene Peterson from The Message.
Yeah.
Translation stuff does matter. And there's a lot of instances in Greek and Hebrew translations of things that were just words that just meant people, mankind,
yeah,
being translated to men, and then being doctrines for which people are willing to die
live
for
on,
in terms of gender
lives.
Roles and stuff like that. Yeah. So be wary of all translations. And yeah. Do The Message. It's fun.
Oh, look up Eugene. The Junia Project if you're interested in this topic.
Yeah, Junia Project's cool.
So where would you say, and you don't have to answer this super directly, but where would you say you fall now on the like spectrum of spirituality or church things or whatever?
Atheist. For... just
hard atheist.
There's just I wish I talked about this oh, okay. A little bit on Amy Miller's podcast. Hey. Who's Your God? That like I wish I could hold something in faith for my like self and for life and for just like giving it up and having hope in a bigger scheme. But there's nothing in me that will allow that belief to occur. Like, it's just bullshit lying to myself. And this is something that I've found in common with a lot of, like, queer family, and that, like, it's hard for us sometimes to get back into the church if we've had a history with the church and it came out of it, because we're done with fucking lying to ourselves and to others. Mm-hmm. We're just done. And we won't go back. Like, we won't. It feels partially like going back in the closet. It feels partially like denying of oneself, like true identity. It feels, and also it's coupled with the fact that the church fucking hates us and is doing everything to destroy us, feeling like, I know that's not the absolute reality for all churches, but goddamn, the loudest ones really do. Like, it's so, it's hard to and even like exploring other faiths and any other kind of like belief system and just like in nature or whatever, you know, it's like that part of my brain is so disintegrated. I can't just believe in shit. Oh my God, I would love to be able to. I wish I could. But instead, it's the practical science base. What's around us is the physical. And we know this. We have so much evidence. So put it in. Yeah. Put your energy into preserving what's around us, what is tangible and real. Mm-hmm. There's a level of escapism I find that's also really toxic to like my personal mental health, to get too far away from being grounded in reality and the physical like space around myself. And it couples with depression and lets anxiety kind of run rampant too, to just check out from reality. Like
escapism in the sense of like indulging in,
yeah,
things
blind
with religion.
Faith. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. I've never thought it's not good for me. Yeah. It's just not good for me. I wish it was, because I think that's where motivation comes from. And I'm still trying to figure out how the fuck is it just lying to yourself? Is motivation just lying to you? I don't know how to find it.
Is my faith just lying to myself? Sometimes.
Yeah. That's such an interesting perspective.
Sometimes it is. Yeah. I mean, kind of.
Right.
In a lot of, I've had years where it's like, I think this is not the case. And a lot of people would advocate for fake it till you make it sort of perspective.
But it's not good for me.
Yeah, I don't think
that's
so
not a
either.
Healthy thing for
and
me
I
to
And I think
do.
There's been times where I'm like, this is maybe a beautiful lie that I believe that still gives me some kind of boost. So like, why not? And then sometimes I'm like, no, this is a deeply held truth that I know down to my bones. And so I can go either way. But I like the idea, and I think it's profound to be also like, there's so much here. Like, is this not enough? Like, this world we live in, these people you've
there's
known.
There's kids that need adopting. There's oceans that need cleaning. And there's, like,
and just the, like,
stop pretending.
Unbelievable beauty of, the, like, the sunset we had tonight that was, like, purple and pink everywhere. What the hell? You know? And
it was giving me life.
It was giving me life. It was God's little painting.
It was beautiful.
And it's, Jesus. Yeah, and I think that can be something, like, really interesting. And actually, I talk about this with Nate a lot, too, because we've had some difficult talks where I say, like, sometimes I feel like you're so fixated on heaven that it is a little bit of escapism, like, from what we're dealing with here, or just, like, the hard stuff in life.
This isn't really real.
Yeah, or we're like, just, oh, this will all be redeemed. This will all be finished. Yeah. And I think there's some power in that. There's something lovely in that. But I think there can be something, like, that's not good, and that makes you detach from just, like, living here and being present in this too.
One really depressing thought experiment that I will indulge every once in a while is trying to imagine the sheer untapped potential of religious people if they all were to close their books and stand up from prayer and go and engage in the physical world around them and be giving to the societies around them and go and pick up garbage and start a recycle program and do an outreach for foster kids. And you know what I mean? Like, all these programs that could, and the embracing the true values of, I think, the most beautiful parts of religion is being here with each other and sharing in a common goal. And that is love, and that is acceptance, and that is enriching each other's lives. If we all, like, if, oh yeah, the sheer potential of putting down the what's it, like, the habitual part of it, what's that called,
ritual,
like putting down the ritual and going out and practicing the word, putting heaven, it's not gonna happen for you, babes, so maybe just fix this house right now that we live in, because we're here in this house.
And I think that's some, like, the best Christians I know are people that are like that, and they're like, well, this is this is useless if I'm not just like going out here and helping people and stuff. So
I remember that feeling so much, is like, I'm saving up all my potential for heaven.
Heaven points.
Yeah. It's like Trump has that thing where he's like, Trump has that thing where he's like, I don't want to spend too much energy because we have like a finite amount. Like, no, you don't, you fucking dipshit. But sometimes I think that's how like Christians fall into that trap of like, well, I'm doing enough here. This is fine. This isn't the real goal. This isn't the real house. I'm going to make it. You know, to the
faith as escapism is a thought that's going
to
be
so
haunting me for the next couple of weeks.
I'm so glad we have these.
I'm glad you give them to me too. But I will say, like, going off of that, I would encourage everyone to be very wary of any people of any religion, or and especially Christianity, that kind of bristle against the idea of social justice for this reason. Mm-hmm. They're like, well, I mean, I guess it's kind of important, but we have to... People who bristle against the idea of religion as a means to the ends of unimpeachable positive affect on other people's lives, both in the macro, in the micro, in relationships and stuff.
Definitely.
Be very cautious of those people who are like, well, we have to first doctrine and then we can go out and like freaking... do whatever. Unless it's adoption. Christians love adoption.
That's why I love adoption. Because I was raised around so many kids that were adopted.
Oh, boy. Well, thanks for sharing your story.
I'm sorry.
It was really lovely. Thank you for sharing your story.
I know it can be very personal, so I appreciate it.
Thank you for giving me something to wake up in a cold sweat at 3 a.m. this morning thinking about escapism. And we'll be right back with more good Christian fun.
Okay.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now, Caroline, I got a question for you.
Yes.
How is your social battery right now? Are you feeling drained? Do you got a lot of energy right now? Where are you at with things as we speak today?
Well, you know, when you're pregnant, famously, your social battery is endless, actually, because you're powered by a baby battery.
It's like someone slaps a mag charger onto your phone.
Exactly.
And you can go for like 24 hours more.
I am the U.S. Marines of taking down social situations. I feel incredible all the time. So yeah, that's where I'm at. What about you?
Wow. Well, I'm feeling a little drained. And sometimes it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, which is maybe the zone I'm in right now. Mm. And for me, spreading myself too thin is like going to a lot of like Garfield events recently that have been happening over town.
Oh,
the new movie coming out.
I know you get so excited about those. You got to spread those out a little more.
I know. And I need to really protect my energy and stuff. But, you know, it's worth asking ourselves, what's the right amount of socializing and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people. Maybe you need a little me time, a little alone, introverted time. But either way, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. So things like tuning into yourself, feeling and understanding what you want and need yourself, and then being able to communicate that to those around you, and then most especially to yourself.
Well, if you can't get pregnant immediately, that sounds like a pretty good solution as a backup.
And again, I think I might have even said this before. If I could get pregnant, I would, just to understand what it's like to have even like boundless energy that can kind of propel me into
like... you could feel.
To exercise more, to be working out like 3 hours a day.
Exactly.
Working 9 hours a day on top of that. And then
good brain.
Going out 2 hours. Yes, such a good brain on top of that. So if you're thinking about starting therapy, maybe give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. If you don't like the first person you get, don't worry, there's another one on the docket. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/goodchristianfun today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
10%?
.com/goodchristianfun. You got some thoughts on that 10%?
That's a good deal.
It is.
I agree. First month?
And especially because 10% is where I'm feeling my battery is right now. That's BetterHelp.com/goodchristianfun.
This HeadGum podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Welcome back to Good Christian Fun. Let's dive in. Come on, let's go. Christian pop culture. The music, you briefly touched upon it. Going to youth group in the heyday, 94 to 97-ish. We were talking before recording tonight about possible topics. You mentioned Michael W. Smith. You mentioned Jars of Clay. Who else did you mention?
DC Talk.
DC Talk.
Oh, yeah. Rebecca St. James. Points of Grace or Point of Grace?
Oh, Point of Grace.
Point of Grace.
Oh, keep the candle burning, girl.
What? Talked about.
What a banger.
All it takes is one steady heart. The world that's turning.
Yeah. Oh, that was great.
They're a country trio now. Did you know that?
Yeah.
You didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like Dixie Chicks country too. Yeah. Kinda. It's not like
kinda.
Girls.
It's like mom country.
Where it is so specifically, mom country.
No, but specifically country songs about being a mom.
Do the laundry, get the kids, like the get them lunch, and kill myself.
This is all you should ever want.
Yeah, I was like, this is the drudgery of the day.
It's everything's like,
it's positive.
Fine. Everything's fine.
They don't say they want to kill themselves.
Oh, boy. So your relationship to that media in the midst of like growing up in that time, was that all you were listening to? Was that mixed in with the quote unquote secular stuff?
Oh,
too?
Definitely mixed in. So I would go and stay at like Mackenzie Davies' house, and that they were very much Christ only household. But casually, does that make sense? So it was just like, it was cool. If, like,
it wasn't restricted. It just happened to be the case.
Yeah. Because they just like loved it so much. And like her dad was really, really musical. He like worked on a bunch of commercial stuff. Mm-hmm. And so it was like the first time that I'd ever seen like a soundboard, like, and how to like balance it and stuff. And like he worked on, some cool stuff. So he was so musical, and he was such a awesome guy. Like, we just loved it and would like hanging out. So we would listen to music. And Mackenzie also had three sisters, and like some of the funnest, like dumb little preteen times was just like cranking up some like poppy Christ track.
Poppy and just, Christ like, tracks.
Dancing around the house and bouncing on the beds and like just being little funny girls. Like, just
having
a blast.
There's plenty
with
of
it.
Fun Christian songs for that. You can get into it.
Mm-hmm. I also like saw Labyrinth at her house for the first time, and I think fell in love in a weird way with David Bowie's Codpiece. Like, that was so confusing.
Oh my God.
Such a confusing
in love with
time.
Him, but the
Codpiece. Like, something here is like a clue.
I'm drawn. There's
to
a clue.
My future.
At least you didn't fall in love with one of Jim Henson's creations like I did.
Oh, who was
even
it?
More confusing
who
time.
Who is
the
she?
Worm? Who is she?
The worm.
Isn't there a worm in there?
Just the inchworm?
Yeah.
that?
I was like, yeah, baby.
Hubba, hubba.
Waddled up to the TV, diaper full.
Diaper full of poop.
Yep.
You're like, I don't know now.
But Jars of Clay, so we talked about their debut album last year in one of our very first episodes, one of our first 10 episodes.
Album.
It is still a great album.
Yeah.
It's still very, very good.
It's fun.
Very dynamic. One of my favorite debut albums from anyone. We're talking about Much Afraid. What was your relationship to the...
So we played the crap out of that DC Talk album and that Jars of Clay album. It was almost all we listened to. Like we
Jesus
would,
Freak?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We would be at church. And we also were really involved with like the preschool, Sunday school. Because like we would go to, you know, whatever, study, Bible study. And then we would go and like take care of all the preschool kids or like go and do Bible study for the third graders and stuff. Like we were very involved in it, but we would like take breaks and like with our little Walkman, just be listening to the songs. We were just like, like teen obsessed.
Wow.
Like you are with any song, yes. Like yeah. As a teenager or like preteen, whatever, 13. Love this song. And we were like listening. We were like taking breaks from Sunday school to listen to DC Talk. That's how deep I was in the church.
That is so
that Jars
funny.
Of Clay album got so much play.
First or second?
The first
one.
And
yeah.
Then
oh, yeah,
the
that one's
second
good.
One came out. And this is, I was probably 14. I think it was the year before, or the year I'm going into high school. And this became like my very like studious, thoughtful time with the church and with Christ. And this was the time that I was like trying to get through the Bible and like really try to apply these things because some of the facade was like definitely slipping away. And that I don't really know about a lot of this stuff. So I just threw myself at it. And I have done this for the entirety of my life.
Like, yeah.
Something doesn't
lean
make,
into it.
Yeah, exactly. And just go 1,000%. I am very much a badger with my tenacity to like just get in there and figure it out. This is also how I've like changed industry so many times throughout like my career life is because I'm like, I don't know how to do that. I'm going to go find out. So I did that with Jesus. So this was like a very studious time for me. I was doing a lot of examination. I was reading through the Bible, and this album definitely soundtracked a lot of it. It was also like the first little foray between 14 and 15 where you just start really getting like a little bit emo and you just start getting
oh, yeah.
Well, I can understand Jesus. Why, especially yeah, for this album, getting, the emotional.
And so it really fit this like perfect little puzzle piece of like, this is the album I needed exactly when it was. And I spent about whatever, half a year listening to it. And then I was done and I was ready to go on to other stuff.
Wow. So it was so functional.
Yeah. This is a perfect, like taking myself seriously, kind of sad,
yeah.
Kind of like worried, feeling bad about myself, but
thoughtful.
Like also just like, God's the best.
Yeah,
like this
I'm
sure. Is a perfect album
pretty
for
sure.
This. Yeah,
the other albums that I had bought that were in regular rotation, I'd bought just like a year or two prior were Tragic Kingdom, No Doubt, Alanis Morissette, Jack Little Pill,
oh,
and
baby.
Mary J. Blige.
Oh,
yeah, so that's a good time.
Yeah, weird.
Oh, and that Wow album. So it's like Wow Best Songs of Worship,
really
1997 specifically, and it's a double album and it's full of bangers.
Wow, 1997.
And then I just like stopped the Christ stuff, and then I also did have a little like gay freak out. And I heard that Alanis Morissette was like not 100% straight, and I destroyed her CD.
Really?
Because I thought that's what
like,
Jesus
I
would
shouldn't.
Want. Yeah, I was like, this
Whoa.
Is terrible, even
oh,
though
no.
I'd already put the Christ music down.
Yeah.
But still, just having that like self hating, like that home self inflicted
yeah,
like, homophobia.
I don't even want to get close
of,
to this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I broke it, and then I went out and bought another one.
Good for
of
you.
Of course.
Wait, so when you stopped doing church stuff, did you ever listen to this stuff, like just out of nostalgia or because you enjoyed it? Like, did you put on some DC Talk?
I tend to be brutal in my breakups.
Okay.
If you want to get into astrology,
cold turkey,
Virgo,
noted
Leo
for the
rising, Taurus moon. I don't fuck around. When I'm done with something, I'm done.
Okay.
And I don't. Once, and it's the same with people, like once the
jars were shattered.
The jars were shattered. But come on, you've never revisited.
Not until this week.
This song right
this
here.
Week. This is Riot.
Which one is this again?
This
oh,
is
no. Ew, I was like, this doesn't sound like Jars of Clay.
But this is something so Caitlin much. Mentioned. What we were talking about, she's like talking
it
about
is
Riot.
Oh. So fun to like run around.
One of my
this,
ears went
first
out.
Of all, so many notes. There's the music. video to this song that you need to look up. Because he's too old. He's just too old to be doing this.
Disagree. And perfect age.
There's just like a lot of like power moves and choreography, and they're in some kind of warehouse, and they're sweaty and shoveling, and it's exactly that.
It's this caricature he's made of himself. I don't understand.
Yep. Righteous invasion of truth, baby.
We are the righteous invasion of truth.
What a fun.
Speaking of Jesus freak, I guess I should announce this now. So former guest on the show and also Caroline's husband, Nathan,
yeah,
and I are working on an album together called Cheez-It Freaks.
Is it based on the Dane Cook joke?
I did not know this.
Nope. I don't know that joke. We're going to
take look it up.
We're going to take every song on the Jesus Freak album, make it about food. What will people think when they hear that I'm a Cheez-It Freak?
In your life?
For example,
I'm so happy. I'm very
set
proud.
The table and I ate some puffed cream from a fridge where I binge eat the food of my dreams. So that would be like
some
the first
puffed cream?
Yeah, like some whipped we're working puffed on it. I should say whipped cream.
Oh, this is good.
Whatever.
Oh my gosh.
Hey, this is a working space.
Announcement canceled. We're not doing
it. Wait, do you guys have like do you have stage names? Like you're Kevin Snacks.
I'm Kevin Snacks. And he's probably Toby Snack. It's mostly just snack. Snacks.
It's not the Snacks Brothers. It's Snack and Snacks.
Michael Taste. I don't
Michael
know.
Taste is good.
Hey. Michael W. Taste.
Oh, man. Yeah. And Megan Kelly says that Nathan can dress up like Michael Taste. So
that's fine.
Take my cues. There's nothing wrong with it. Much Afraid. This is the lead out track, Overjoyed. That I should company with something so divine. Mercy wakes, overjoyed. Caroline looks like she's in pain. Freeing me.
I like this song.
So Dan Hasseltine, lead singer of the band, I think he prepared a generation of Christian music fans to embrace Sufjan's voice.
Yes! Right? It is such a Sufjan feeling thing.
It is the genre of like sensitive male voice where it's like you feel like if you poked it with a feather, it would shatter and fall apart.
Just deflate,
you would
rest
kill
away.
This man. Yes.
Yeah, like frail, someone's squeezing air out of him to get the song. He also, I don't know if you noticed, most of this album, he sounds very far away.
Yeah.
So far.
Which Blink 182 did much later in their self-titled album.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Far away microphone.
This sound, it's such a specific 90s indie guy sound.
Absolutely.
That I kind of enjoy.
Can we talk about also, the album cover, too?
It's like pretty
it
charming.
It doesn't make any sense.
I love
it. But it's nice.
I instinctually, this is still.
You love it?
I think it is an amazing album cover.
Would you say this graphic design is winning?
I didn't.
It gives me all the feels, you guys.
The thing is, I didn't remember what the album was called.
But you remember the picture.
I remember exactly, like, I could have sketched it. I could have.
It's like this retro photo of a couple holding hands, like, from the 50s, and they're in swimsuits.
They're like,
and
it's
full excitement.
Yeah, they're full excitement.
But it's much afraid. Like, it's so evocative to me.
It's such a mind fuck.
Come on.
This album.
I just think it's cool.
No, I'm not teasing you.
It's just
very
iconic.
It doesn't really make sense. No, it's not stupid. You're not stupid.
Caroline only likes art if it makes sense. For example, if they say Thor will be back in Thor Ragnarok, then he'll be
back.
Wait,
don't play with me. Are they doing Thor Ragnarok again? I'll go see it.
Again.
Ragnarok 2.
Oh my gosh.
Return to Ragnarok. We all know.
Return to Ragnarok
again. Ragnarokin' again.
Ragnarok you all over.
The sound of this album, generally, does it feel super, super 90s to you when you listen to it?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't have musical knowledge to pinpoint why, but it does.
To me, it feels very much ahead of its time.
I thought so, too.
It feels really mid-oddies. Naughties, if you will.
If you're a little British. Naughty oddies. Oh, yeah.
Naughty oddies. In, like, the 2004 to, like, 12 range of, like, alternative, kind of thoughtful not rock, but
a lot of strings, but not a lot of the, like, they were super
it's a very
drum
full sound. Mm-hmm. Yeah. A
lot of string arrangements and not as many drum loops as there were in the first album, which is very, like, parts of that album are gloriously. Yeah. Very 90s.
Somebody just let that thing go.
All right, we're done.
Keep still playing.
Oh my gosh. I was reading today one of my favorite one of my favorite pieces of trivia about that first album is, why are there Trinity, there's like an FAQ on one of those Jars of Clay fan websites, you know, one of them, there's a billion. Why are there 20 extra minutes at the end of the debut CD? And it says the band wanted to use the full potential to fill the CD to the max, but didn't have enough material. So they included outtakes from their recording sessions. They are fans of live strings, so they included those blind rehearsal outtakes. Engineers can also be heard discussing the O.J. Simpson trial in the background.
What?
Way to make use of your resources. Huh?
Blood on the glove. Something like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you can hear some engineers thinking about O.J.
That's bananas.
Made some good points today in court. That's so funny that they just filled it in. Yeah, because they met in college and that was their first album. It was just sort of like born out of a dorm room, essentially.
They went, It was a switch. It was a Switchfoot situation.
Yeah,
the situation with them. Same thing, where it's like they made
college.
It in the white college boys.
DC was, talk too.
Yeah.
And two of the songs on this album, "Fade to Gray" and "Frail," were two of the first songs they ever wrote for anything. They were on a demo where they didn't make the first album, but they ended up on this one.
I love a group of 20-year-olds talking about being an old man.
You think Fade to Gray is about being old?
It's so moody, yeah.
You think it's about being old?
No, I'm joking. I think actually, I like this song. It's kind of about having doubts in your faith.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. They don't really get into it with the lyrics.
The lyrics are not vivid. They're opaque.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
I kept looking up lyrics. And like, there's got to be some. I feel like I know some of the... I don't know the words to any song, turns out. I don't know any word to any song on this entire album. But it's, like, soothing. And it's just, like, kind of amalgamous, like, background. And
yes.
You're just like, yeah,
yes.
Whatever.
This to me...
This is how Christ gets in your head.
When I finished the album, I was like, oh, this is, like, 90s easy listening. This song.
It is.
Like, yeah, it's, like, very...
Relaxed.
Toad the Wet Sprocket and like a lot of kind of
like
folk
really
rocking.
Ironed out, like real smoothed out.
This part's nice.
It's like someone running in slow motion, like that marathon from a couple weeks
this
ago.
This is real string forward.
I did what I did in the Reliant K episode, like one sentence summaries of each song,
yes.
What I think it might be about.
Oh, I have one for Tea and Sympathy.
Okay, great. Overjoyed. I am nothing without you, God. You make me everything that I am. Fade to Gray, I suck. God, you're good. Tea and Sympathy, I wrote down, don't leave me, baby. Let's talk it out.
Okay, yeah. I have Ed Sheeran's Thinking Out Loud because it's the same. And I think the Ed Sheeran borrowed that melody a little bit.
Oh, I could see that.
Wait until like in the middle and there's like a little, yeah. But it sounds just like it's an evergreen.
That's so well, apparently it's about maybe having an affair. Or maybe about a relationship.
Yeah,
that's what they say.
There's this like video on YouTube where they're talking like there's apparently three people in this song, by the way. There's like the couple and then a temptress.
They call her a temptress.
He says the waitress. Is that the same person?
I think she's the temptress.
Rude.
I know. She's just doing
I thought she was just background. Non-union.
And the lady knocks over a cup and breaks it, too. She's
yeah, there's
very
a lot
rude.
Of cup shattering.
But that's
a lot of
metaphor.
Sipping, slurping.
Right? It's tough.
You pick
it. This song stuck with me the most out of the whole album.
This chorus.
Maybe because of just the
it's
chorus
Ed Sheeran.
And then the title of it. It felt like it had something to say in a way, which I appreciated.
Well, do you know another famous Tea and Sympathy?
The play?
The play,
yeah.
Oh, I didn't know
I
that.
Think
Do you think they're referencing that?
They have to be. They're not dumb. They feel pretty well read.
Right.
Yeah.
But then I did have to look up because I was like, I think that is like a colloquial, that is like a saying.
It is?
Of like, oh, to sit and have tea and sympathy.
Ooh, I didn't
it's
know
a British saying.
It's a colloquialism. Like, what,
colloquialism.
Does it mean
word.
Just like gathering together and working
no, it's
it
like
out,
what's or often like... offered with as a British kind of nicety.
Okay.
It's like, sit down for some tea and sympathy.
Oh,
like,
get in okay, here. Okay.
And the lyrics here are, like, don't trade our love for tea and sympathy. So it's like, don't throw away our relationship for just someone who will listen
nicety
to you.
Is like kind of formal.
Yeah,
well, nicety.
Yeah, something where it's okay. Like, she gets me. But it's like, does she really? She's just being nice. And you're kind of new. So I do think it's an interesting song because it's not God or girlfriend. I don't take it to be like that
no,
at all.
It's
I think it's
girlfriend.
Strictly relationship yeah. stuff. So but, I like that.
Yeah. That's cool. They in their video they said this was about adultery, which I was like, I think you retrofitted that later. This just feels like people going through there's like a breakup
yeah.
talk.
And at on. That point in time, only two of them are married, yeah. I think.
Yeah, one guy's like, yeah, you know, just it can really show how like something small in a relationship can grow and like break everything down.
Oh yeah, seed in a relationship.
Their junior year was tough. Time.
Yeah, junior year
was hey, listen, we all had big breakups.
You know, when your finals are coming up and it's just all going bad. Crazy
She's
times.
Not actually studying when you're doing a study sesh. Like, it's so annoying.
She's not pulling her weight in the group project.
It's frustrating.
You go that way and that's why you say
this one, I feel like, unfortunately, it gets into a little Reliant K territory.
Which is this one again?
This is Crazy Times. Here, we'll listen to the chorus. I like the chorus.
It seems it's always the crazy times. You find
there's a lot of act outs right now.
Shh, don't tell them that.
You stop it.
So
does this help you process?
I hope yep. it does. Yes, it does.
Yeah. Whatever.
You gotta be jerky when you're listening to this song.
So. My summary for this was, you're such a dramatic woman. Your sadness isn't good enough. Actually, you need God. That's what I thought it was.
Yeah, it's
you
like
use
another
woman in a derogatory way.
Well, they're calling it a her.
Choice. Yeah, this is like I think one of those like frail
right?
or not frail, like fallen woman trope yeah. songs.
Yeah, like
love,
concrete
right?
girl,
they called it crazy,
foot,
you know, like a lady.
That yeah. could be a playlist of like this girl doesn't have it figured out yet.
Oh, she's like been, she's broken down. She's
in
looking
her
to
head.
Other things.
It's in
and
her mind.
If only she like reached Seed. God.
Yes. And manic pixie dream.
Often she dies. Yeah, there's a lot.
Yeah, so I think crazy because it's like you're sailing. Tears aren't going to be enough to make things right. So it's like just being sad about something. I think it's one of those like. It's the total absence of God in the song that's like, but actually you need God.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's also, did you watch the music video for this?
No. Mm-mm.
He's wearing a fedora in it.
Oh,
1997.
Yeah, yeah.
He's just explaining a lady her own goddamn feelings. That's the entire song.
Then he tips his hat to her and says, m'lady at the end. So he's a gentleman. He's a prince.
What a piece of shit.
Let me teach you how to
this
cry.
This song is, honey, you're crazy. Let me explain your feelings to you.
Crazy is such
Jesus.
A buzzword for
girl.
Women.
Yep.
It makes me really
I don't
mad,
think they're using crazy like girls.
I
like
know.
Girls are so
I
crazy.
Know. That, I guess that's a separate topic.
And
I hear
I
men
say,
call
just like
crazy
a man
anyway.
To go to bat for a man you've
no,
never met.
No, I'm just saying. Oh,
yeah.
No, I'm part
no,
of the
no,
problem.
No. Tell us how we're wrong.
I'll quit the podcast. Caitlin, you're the new co-host. Take it away,
yay!
Girl.
Oh my God, Caitlin, thank you. I'm kidding. I love you.
What a twist.
Stick around.
Hope you like Muppet stuff.
Not in the same way.
I mean, and speaking... No one does in the same way, baby. One of the things...
Kevin's doing the worm along his own belly
no,
right now.
No, no,
with
no, guys.
With his finger.
Finger worm.
The one thing I will say about what? Like their own personal politics or perspective, I think they're on the right side of
I
things.
I do. I think they are
our side.
And nothing
things.
Really yes! stood out as like, oh,
right.
Okay, gross. And so often stuff does. And I still listen to such dumb music. I was just like, that's problematic.
It's
anyway,
not good. Love it.
Yeah.
Well, hello. And Dan Hasseltine on Twitter a couple years ago did say, I don't really see any good argument why gay marriage should not be legal. He was like, going to bat for gay marriage. Just like on a legal, like, so.
And I'm not at all surprised to hear that from him. Like, that's great. But yeah, they've also been kind not of, surprised at all. Good.
They've been like fairly progressive, I think, for a long time, or at least not like ardently conservative Christian for a long time.
Hasseltine in particular likes to go off on people on Twitter for
how yes,
for
he does.
Conservative yeah. stuff. He,
what
he
a
really
weird
does.
Twitter follow. I'm
and
gonna
he
have
started
today.
A yeah, you should go way on back in your past.
He might be listening to this. They listened to the first episode, if you'll recall.
They did
us. Really. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, so. Oh, that's cool.
So be careful what you say.
I
you
love
got one more
this
Twitter follower.
Voice.
It's good.
It's good.
I like what's, it.
Do you want to play Five Candles, which was supposed to be for Liar Liar with Jim Carrey?
So when
what
you hear this.
What was it?
Promise or a dare.
Liar, liar.
I would jump if you catch me.
What song is this, though?
Five Candles.
No,
you
but
were there.
You know what I mean? What song is
Oh, I think
song?
They wrote it for the end credits, but a la DC Talk when they wrote The Truth Is Out There for the X-Files movie. The movie rejected it, but what movie accepted it, guys?
Jack Frost.
From No Dead to Snow Dad. Jack Frost starred Michael Keaton accepted the five candles. Jars of Clay had a lot of heat on them for movies about people who don't want to be fathers.
I think they had a song in Chronicles of Narnia, too.
Five Candles, You Were There When I Needed You?
No, I think Jars of Clay had a song. And
oh, they
Chronicles
did. Yeah, they did on one of them. Yeah.
So
it'd be funny
Regina
if it
Spectre
was this one.
It's, no, this is our song for all the movies.
This is what Aslan comes out to.
Oh, you guys shouldn't have it. It's not even my birthday.
Yeah. And I think it's sung from the perspective of a little kid.
Yeah, it's kind of sweet. It's talking about, it's like him blowing out the candles, asking for wishes, not wanting presents, just wanting time with him.
Yes.
Yeah. And saying you were never there. It's a little sad.
What
sweet.
An impossible kid that never existed.
Yeah, this is like, this is whatever, you know, when males write songs and it's like some dream girl or some like, it, this is like the male
child.
Gaze as applied to a
son.
Child.
A son
the
that
dad
wants to
gaze.
Spend time with you.
You know, a kid, but in a perfect way.
I will have a catch with you. Frail. This song is a brisk
You skipped
6
down.
Minutes and 58 seconds
just
long.
Just real.
Jeez.
Here's the thing, guys. Before we talked about it, before we did this episode, I had been listening to this song while going to sleep because I think it's a really, really great song. Shut up. Shut up, Caroline.
It wasn't even me laughing that time.
I don't care if you laugh. You shut up, Caroline.
That's it. I have no footy to stand on. I listened to a Cat Marina like Headspace thing the other night to go to sleep. Whatever it takes. But
by
my
any
notes,
means necessary.
My
by
notes
any means
for this
necessary.
Song literally say bitch boy song.
You're so mean.
Wow.
Dan, if you're listening, I'm sorry about that.
No, Dan, I think you would agree with me. There's a. It's instrumental for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a while.
It's Judy Moody,
but
the
I don't
Bomber
hate
Summer.
This song. I think it's nice.
Yeah,
it's
just, I like it too. It's moody. It's just I should have just said it's moody.
It's kind of one of those like a little bit of a self-loathing Christian song.
Well, yeah, that's the thing, and it's complicated. But I think it's like
that's the theme for so many of these songs. It's either I'm shit, Jesus is
good.
Everything, and
yeah,
that's all good I'll be, or I just get obsessed with what. Song is this because
what are we doing
song and this especially this little slice of kind of Christian pop, which admittedly heyday is all other songs. It's like playing Canada. It's just like an alternate reality
sure.
version of
yeah no yeah. We talk about this is always like a little
it
bit
always
of
reminds me of something yeah
it's like a little late
yeah.
But I think that's like
this
industry
album
wide
has less
it's
than
an
any
issue
other album
yeah
I've ever heard, though.
You know, like pop stars are always imitating other pop stars and that kind of thing, so I don't blame them.
Yeah, there's others that are 100% more.
Yeah, unless they're very blatant.
Point. This
I'm
album,
looking for my Lauren Daigle clips real quick.
This album is refreshingly devoid of that, except for that one Ed Sheeran song, which was admittedly a bit of a reach, but
because it's 20 years in the past.
Yeah, but
I don't think that's a reach. No,
but
they stole it.
I got that hook stuck in my head. No, Ed Sheeran was looking at jars of clay.
Yeah,
and he was like, "No one."
I wish
I love the
so
shape of your jar.
There's one lyric in this song that says, "If I wasn't so afraid of being broke broken and growing old. But I thought he was saying being broke and growing old, which I think would be a great, very honest lyric. Like, I wish it had been that.
It, like, the...
If I wasn't so scared of being broke and
generally,
old.
The songwriting, it's not that... I feel like it's not as tangible as that. Because, no, like, being broke is, like, such a practical matter. There's a lot of...
They
it's,
hover
it's not
the,
vivid,
like,
it's poetry.
The atmosphere.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. These guys aren't on the ground all the way.
It doesn't conjure an image. It's like, mm-hmm. what does this mean?
Mm-hmm. I do think...
Ethereal.
Yeah, yes. I think so. But I do think this is a cut or two above your standard I Suck, I'm a POS, God's Good
Absolutely.
Song. Because I think it is an interesting idea about vulnerability that
yes,
the song gets
yeah.
at. Which, and I connected to a good amount listening to, just the idea of, like, if you're afraid to show your own weakness and expose yourself to people in the sense of, like, here's who I really am and what mm-hmm. I'm going through. And then, like, you ball that up and then it comes out in bad ways, or then you really are weak because then you can't help yourself or help other people or love people. And it doesn't feel self, even like compared to other songs on this album, it doesn't feel self-loathing in the sense that we've talked about songs on this show before.
I agree. There's I think now that I think about it, there is this kind of element of, like, I'll just agree with whatever you say.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding. Thank you. No, but I think there is an element of just, like, I don't think it's entirely wrong to be introspective and maybe find some faults that you could work on. And I think this maybe falls more in that category than, like, I am so low.
I am trash. Mm-hmm. I am nothing. Mm-hmm. I am.
And, like, why would anyone love me? Yeah. Thank God. God loves me.
Yeah, because the way it goes, it says, if I were not so weak, if I was not so cold, which to me kind of, like, implies detachment or not connecting with people. If I was not so scared of being broken, growing old, I would be frail. So that's saying frail is, like, the good, like, that's the thing you want to be. Like, you are frail. You're going to die. Mm-hmm. You're going to have your heart broken.
A little bit vulnerable.
You're going to do some bad shit, have bad shit happen to you. So it's like, it's okay. Embrace it. Don't be in denial. Because then when you are in denial, that's when worse stuff happens.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And I guess being cold is, like, very much about a very, like, relationship problem more than anything than, like, a God or spiritual problem too.
This works either way. Like, this feel and this album feels mostly like it is very, it's weirdly more melancholy than the debut album, I feel like, and it feels it feels more concerned with relationship stuff
because it feels so much more grown up too.
Yeah it does. Yeah,
the succession of these albums was like, this is perfect. It's like on my path.
It's a good sophomore album.
Yeah.
It's not as splashy or flashy as the first one,
but
it's
not dynamic,
good.
Really.
I was trying to.
Very mid tempo.
Yes.
A lot of mid tempo.
Just a lot of sleepy.
There was one metronome setting.
Yeah.
Truce is a little upbeat.
Truce is if you want to get the party going, you put this one on.
All right. I'm Dan Hazeltine. All right. Everybody, take your dicks out. We're going to rock this shit out.
Get in the pit and hurt somebody.
Let's throw some fists. Put your hands on someone. No.
Throw some jars of shit!
Wait, is this truce?
This is truce.
Okay.
Hang on, I'll fast
forward. Hold on, it picks up.
It's about to pick up. It's coming.
Stay sitting down.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And three, and four, and one.
It reminds me more of Prayer than any of the other songs do. Is it, this one feels a little bit more like recital of, excuse me while Caroline's twerking.
Oh, for this one, I just put blessings question mark.
Roll. You can't Tootsie Roll.
Full body rolls to this song.
Jars of clay. Is this the one?
Unless you're thinking of him. Mm. Him is like legit a prayer.
Yeah.
The
maybe
last
him.
Song? Hang on, let me play that.
Hymn.
Hymn.
Hymn. Hymn is pretty.
Oh, refuge of my hardened heart. Oh, fast pursuing lover, come as angels dance around your throne. My life by captured fear, you won't. Not silhouette of trodden faith, nor death shall not my steps be guide. I'll pirouette upon my grave, for in your path I'll
could be him. I think Melody's friggin' good.
This reminds me of like the old way, of the old feeling at church.
I love it. And it's so distinct from the, like, it is slow and kind of melancholy like the others, but it's so distinct from the other ones.
Methodical.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very like, we're doing the high church moment a little bit. This would be so beautiful. Yeah, it's like all the lights off, only candles, one person singing the song.
And we're just like thinking on our thoughts and feelings.
Thinking
going back to all those verses we marked to pray on later.
Yeah. I guess now's the time.
Really think on this. Live as if this is true.
Oh no.
And then the title track, did you guys kind of get into the, well, you're a reader. Where it's based on.
Yeah, did you read the book? Literate.
Did you read the book?
No.
So, I'm a reader too, Kevin. You should talk to our guests.
Yeah, I guess Instagram captions are reading if you.
Yeah, they are.
I know you're a reader on a daily basis.
Oftentimes in midst of book reading, I pull up Instagram, but that doesn't mean I don't read.
Instagram has to say about it.
But yeah, but this book, I remember like a good amount of friends being into.
The book is called Hinds Feet on High Places by Hannah Hernard, and the title character, the protagonist,
is a deer that walks.
That's
well,
it,
the deer
crazy,
is on the is on the title,
yeah. Like
the
Animorphs.
Well, no, it's about a woman. It's not about a deer.
Yeah, it's like an allegorical story in the same way Pilgrim's Progress is.
The woman's name is Much Afraid.
Right,
that's
and her
name.
Companions are like fear and tribulation. Oh, something like
sorrow
that.
And suffering.
Sorrow and suffering.
Her two companions.
Oh, isn't that like Hades? Two companions?
Maybe.
Disease yeah, because she does kind of like.
As well read.
Yeah, the Latin version. But yeah, they do. She does go through a valley, and it's. And then
Star Wars
Jesus or something like Jesus is there that helps her get
the
through.
Good Shepherd is
good
tender
shepherd.
With Much Afraid.
Oh, wow.
Story begins in the Valley of Humiliation. Yeah, it is a lot like Pilgrim's Progress.
This is really on the nose.
Well, and that they said like we felt like Much Afraid when our first album came out and all the stuff we went through because they weren't gunning for like we're gonna be the top dogs in CCM. It was just like, well, okay, I guess we're doing this.
Yeah.
Floods on MTV. They're on a major label. Yeah, and their life changed
Flood
forever.
Went bananas.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Flood is still represents a strong sexual awakening for me as well. Brings back a flood of memories too. Kind of.
Was this song like your sexual dampening?
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Where I was like, oh, I feel like I'm kind of feeling the. Nope, never mind.
Moist from
no,
the
just kidding.
Hear
it.
Just take it down a notch. Oh. Go back to sleep.
My utmost for his highest. Is that anything? This podcast is bad.
It's a lot of head shaking.
No, it's not anything.
Nope.
Nothing.
Yeah. Oh, in both this song and then the last song, Him, that's the only time they address God by name. And in both cases, they call him Sweet Jesus. They say
Sweet
Jesus. I'm
so glad you said it like
Jesus.
That. Yeah, because all they
no,
say is
it's
Sweet Jesus.
Jesus.
Sweet
Jesus. It's so thoughtful.
Dan, I like your voice. I think you're great.
Okay, stop kissing.
Maybe he'll do the show. Go off, King, on Twitter.
Please do. Yeah, I do like this song, though. It's a little long, but I like it.
The only
all
I didn't
the songs are a little long.
I didn't care for Weighed Down or Portrait of an Apology. Like the first six,
yeah.
I'm like yes.
Portrait
yes,
of
yes,
Apology.
Yes.
I do have a theory that it's about Dorian Gray a little bit, or they use Dorian Gray allusions.
Really?
Yeah, because they
talk about painting.
I really did just get lost in these lyrics and kind of gave up on like interpreting.
Yeah,
just because it's okay.
Looks like this figured. Picture yeah. that I've painted. Looks like my heart or what still remains. Becoming all the new gray, what's become of the old me. It's a little bit of that.
My summary was, my heart is bad. I need a buddy.
I need a friend.
Aww. I need a friend.
I need a friend for my heart.
I do. Oh,
boy.
So, yeah, the album's only 11 songs long. It's mercifully. It's 3 hours, 11 songs.
Bless their heart.
Good grief.
Gave it their best.
It was really chill though to listen to.
Mm-hmm.
I probably got through it like head to tails at least half a dozen times.
Yeah,
just in the last whatever since.
Yeah, since we
talked
about it. Yeah.
And it's definitely been in the background. It hasn't been like primary listen, mm-hmm. except for like once or twice. But then there's been a couple of like, wait, what the hell is this? And then like picking out one song and actually like listening to it. It's been very chill. And then it also did get back into so many. I'm trying to remember that one because you were talking about like the relationship with God.
Yeah.
Is it DC Talk that has that? I want to fall in love with you. I want to fall in love with you.
That's Jars.
That is Jars of Clay. I was gonna. I thought it was, but then I couldn't find the title, and I was like, ugh. What folk
oh, it's hard. DC it's song. Called Love Song for a Savior.
That's what it is. I want to fall in love with you. Oh, yeah. I want to fall in love with you.
Which is now the Christian Mingle ad music.
Yeah.
We talked about that last time. Yeah.
Forgot about that.
They licensed it to Christian. You know.
Oh, but I don't just
get
I don't
get paid.
For it.
Get your money.
Get please. That bread.
But it's so funny, like
please get your bread.
Gosh, it's so funny. Did you ever listen to anything post this album, or was this your drop off point?
I think this was in a big way the drop off point. I will go back and listen to old church songs and hymns and gospel music specifically from the first church that you know, the Baptist church, mm-hmm. because that. Those are the ones that make me feel that old way. And that's from childhood old way of just like, there's something huge here. And it's like a little kid perspective of like, we all go to this weird raggedy old building, but we're all doing it for like a big idea or like a big reason.
Yeah.
And like not fully understanding what it is, but feeling like, like that, this is a part of it. And we sing. Like singing in church as a little kid is like your license to just go ham. Like really.
The louder the better.
Exactly. Because the more you do, the more the aunties and stuff are like, get it, child. Like, yeah.
Like, look at this baby really feeling.
It is such a it's such a controlled safe space where you can just go let bananas. Loose. Yes.
And we were still even as like baptism, we were evangelical. Like we toured the country in Winnebago's for like almost a year. We were still a little bit conservative music-wise, mm-hmm. which is weird for Baptist church because my understanding throughout the rest of life about Baptist church is like uproarious goddamn laugh, you know, praise
well,
to Jesus.
Black Baptist. There's
we're very much white
of,
Baptist.
Yeah, Baptist churches.
Super white. Also, highlights from that church is when the pastor got too close to the wood burner stove and did light his whole pants on fire. and then it was like, hee.
And amazing. That's when Jars of Clay got the idea for the song for Liar Liar.
Yeah, yep. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It was all there. Boom, boom, boom. Right.
Wow, that must have been a big day.
It was such a big day.
I would still be talking weeks. About that if that happened
years,
to me.
Years.
Oh my goodness.
Let his whole pants on fire?
The pastor.
The pastor?
The pastor.
Pants are on fire.
Pants on fire.
Oh my gosh, that's great.
Do you guys recognize
so gospel more.
This song, by the way? This was in a rom-com from the 90s. He's not going to forget it. This is in like either Drive Me Crazy or Never Been Kissed.
Yeah,
I forget which
this
one.
Is really familiar.
Is this Jars of Clay?
Yeah.
So this is from their album after this called If I Left the Zoo.
Me.
They come out as Republicans. No, I'm just kidding. But there is an elephant on the coat.
Yeah.
Well, let's get to our final thoughts about this album, the way this works. Caitlin, is we're going to give it a holy toast or holy roast, holy toast. Thumbs up. We send it to heaven. Heaven bound. DC Talk. Or.
Give me another one.
We send those sweet, sensitive boys, those frail boys.
The sweet, tender boys.
To hell. To hell. We can send them to the space between. The space between. Maybe they'd like that.
Send them on up.
Hey.
Send them all up. The elevator of the sky.
Wow.
Wow. Okay. Oh holy gosh. Toast. Holy toast
that.
From Caitlin.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
I think they're well-meaning and good-natured.
Mm-hmm.
And I am skeptical of every boy and every person,
yes.
But like, absolutely.
You trust them.
Any Christian person, I'm like, where's the devil? But they really do come across as like wholehearted little goodies, little tenderonis.
Wholehearted little goodies. That's all I'm trying to do.
Tenderonis.
Send them up.
Send them on up. Here's truly like the litmus test, I think, for integrity. Not the sole one, obviously, but I think one that does speak something. They never did worship music. You know what I mean?
Interesting. Yeah.
They never did the worship
pivot. Well,
besides
the hymn that, at the end of their album.
But you know what I'm talking about, contemporary worship.
Yeah, but like real, real, like
that's like referential.
Yeah. The Third Day thing, the Delirious thing, the Michael W. Smith thing, the Newsboys thing.
I will say,
all did it.
Awesome God was a life-changing song for me.
We ain't putting on the Ritz.
God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wit and wit and power and love. Our God is an awesome God. I remember the day that song was introduced into our church. I was just like, what?
Here we go.
This is a banger. And let's the guitar is going.
Oh, yeah.
And then
oh, yeah.
they cut the guitar and you do it a cappella. And it's just like, oh, like that was such a big day in the Baptist church.
Send it
Rich
home.
Mullins,
elders
we gotta
didn't
do.
Like it. And the yeah. youth were like, get it.
Yeah, Rich Mullins is, he's an interesting figure. Yeah,
he also composed the song we hear every episode, Sing Your Praise to the Lord, from Miss Amy Grant.
Praise to the
Lord. He does a version where it's like a lot of dulcimer, like a lot of like clangy strings. It's good.
Interesting.
He's a weirdo. I love him a lot. Yeah, I like him a lot.
I'm a huge fan of that awesome God.
I'm going to put this in the space between. I'm sorry. But it was like, it was good. It just didn't. I think this is a taste thing. Like, to me, I wasn't getting out of my chair for any of this except for Truce. And
the marker of a good album is Caroline getting out of her chair. Oh, I got a
roll.
Oh, whoa.
No, but okay, so I remember this with the previous Jars of Clay album too, is there were points where I just needed to stop listening to it and like put on a palate cleansing
up.
Song.
I did that a lot.
I like had to stop and put on a good song that I really liked. And then last album I had to stop and put on like Joanne, like Lady Gaga's album for a little bit. And
the best album Lady Gaga did.
Whatever. Yeah. Whatever. It's
that
it.
Is her real those ass and those jeans.
Yeah, no, it's not.
Yes,
it's a
it
good
is.
Album and you're wrong. But it's like it's good. It's just very easy listening. It's very easy, like even tempered. And for me, that's fine. It's just not my taste. I'm not super into it. That said, I do like the poetry of it. I like what they were trying to do. I think they were successful at it. But for me, space between.
Yeah. SBT. Yeah. I guess just SB. Holy toast from me. Holy toast. Uncomplicated.
Toast.
What's that?
Heckin' toast.
Such a heckin' toast. Oh, such a heckin' toast. Yeah. And this wasn't one of my... I was just first and third album growing up. Somehow I missed the second
one for
whatever reason.
Oh, weird.
But yeah, love most of the songs on it. Love the length. Love the heart. I think it still sounds good.
It does.
I think it's weirdly...
I was
like,
really impressed with how much it sounded before its time. And like that really was written in, or whatever, produced in like 96 to release in 97. Like,
yeah.
Wow.
And in contrast to like a DC Talk Supernatural, for example, where it's like... We're chasing this. We're going after that. And here's the documentary about our lives and what we're projecting them to be. With the Jars of Clay guys, every interview and everything I glean from them, I'm sure they've made missteps too, but it's just like, they know who they are. Mm-hmm. They're not hateful. They have positive affect. They give a shit about charity stuff. They're progressive. They're on the right side of things. And they consistently did good stuff. So, holy toast for me. I really like Jars of Clay. But we're not the final word. You're the final word, listener. So you can go to @ChristianFunPod and vote yourself. Give it a roast. Give it a toast. Give it a space between. Get out there. And...
Pokemon, go to the polls.
It's so painful.
It is. It is painful.
Very painful.
It's very painful.
With music.
Exactly.
Oh, wait. Should we do a cappella?
Do it again.
Should I auto-tune her next time?
Yeah, definitely that.
Oh, boy.
Remix.
All right, well, let's... I know we're probably three irredeemable bitches in this room right now.
That's right.
But let's try to redeem
where my IBs at? IBs with IB. IBS.
Where are my IBs at? Let's redeem the sinful time we've had.
Yeah.
Let's humble ourselves. Let's
cleanse.
Shed all of our secularness off of ourselves and just take a knee. Caitlin, on this show, we don't plug our projects.
You
we
really
don't promote ourselves.
That microphone and jiggled it.
Jeez.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Sorry. Here, I'll do it like Dan does his vocals. Caitlin, on this show, we don't promote ourselves. We don't plug our projects. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
We lift it up. We lift it up to the Lord. Caroline.
You can lift me up. You can pray for me. You can bless me at Caroline's Farts on Twitter and Instagram.
All your IBs, get on there.
God, you're the best.
Just putting it out there.
Irredeemable bitches
keeps
for life.
Me humble.
Start that hashtag with me. Okay,
great. IBS gives me life.
IBS gives me life. And sometimes it doesn't.
No.
Sometimes it hurts.
IBS gives and it takes away. Bless you.
I've been dabbling in secular culture. Sometimes I head outside the prairie. It's a safe fence.
Mm-hmm.
And this spooky Halloween season, I watched The Invitation on Netflix.
Too scary.
Oh, I'm not a scary movie fan, but I liked this one. I thought it was good. It's the kind that I like where it's a little bit more of a suspense movie. There's no monsters. It's just this dinner party that goes wrong.
Now, yeah. On a scale of not very much to much, how afraid were you?
Medium much.
Medium much afraid?
Yeah. Okay. Like, I was pretty good, and then about two-thirds of the way, I did just kind of, like, sit very close to Nate. And I kept my eyes on it. I think we took a bathroom break.
Have you watched Haunting on Hill House yet?
Why would I watch that?
Oh, no, it's...
I can't watch nope. that. I'm can't the same, deal with that.
But it's scary.
It rocks.
Is it monsters?
It's ghosties.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's monster adjacent.
It's in the monster family.
Like, I don't like ghosties.
Kissing cousins.
Yeah, they're kissing cousins. A little too real, a little too close.
Okay.
But it's good. You
the
like
invitation.
It?
Oh, yeah, I love it. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think I finished it
You're
by the time it's
movie
come
guy?
Out.
You're no. scary guy?
No, but I like that series.
Okay.
All the actors are really good. Yeah, I like it a lot. Thank you, Caroline. We turn it to Caitlin.
Thank you. Where can we lift you up, Caitlin?
Just talk about stuff I like.
We can lift you up
on social media.
Yeah, maybe like where they can find you online.
Uncle Kate.
And then also
at Uncle Kate.
C-A-I-T, Uncle Kate, right. Across platforms and website.
Where people could see you next?
Around LA now. Also in San Francisco, November 15th, and in Portland, December 15th. I only play on the 15th.
Yeah. It's a strange policy. But you get to work 12 times a year.
I'll be in San Francisco. I'll be doing the business on the 19th. The business. And Amy Miller and Daniel Webb. And I know there's other people, and I'm so sorry for Miss Lydia, maybe, of the Ranch Show, November 25th. But can I give a really quick shout out?
Yeah.
To someone I think that needs a little lifting up. Is it the Sabrina, the Teenage Witch?
Ooh, oh, the show?
The Adventures of Sabrina on Netflix is the scariest thing that I've watched willingly in a very long time. And I friggin' love it.
Because you're scared of cats.
And I am. It's so good. Also, the whole show is them being like, "Hail Satan." There's
like
so much.
Wow.
Because they're witches. They're evil, occult.
Yeah. Witchy stuff. Shout out to all the witches listening to this podcast, too.
Shout out.
You can lift me up at Kevin T. Porter. I'll lift up an entire podcast network. I will lift up the Ringer Podcast Network. I listen to at least one of the shows from the Ringer Podcast Network every single week.
Oh, wow.
If not every day at this point, between The Watch, between The Rewatchables, between Binge Mode, between On Shuffle, between the Bill Simmons,
It sounds like a lot of like pop culture commentary stuff.
No, it's mostly just sex stuff.
Geeky, dirty sex stuff.
It is a lot of pop culture stuff.
Whoa.
Hubble, hubble.
And you can lift us up at Christian Funpod on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. You can join us and you can leave a review on iTunes/Apple Podcasts. And every review you leave, we donate $1 to charity. And this month's charity is Trans Lifeline.
Translifeline.org is a national hotline that anyone can call. It's manned only by trans people, too. So trans to trans talk and helping each other out. But they're a great organization and necessary right now. There's a lot of tax on them.
That's great. I'm so happy to hear that.
And you know who we're not donating $1 to charity for? Jeffrey Tambor. We're not donating to him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Caitlin, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Caitlin, thanks for staying so late.
Yes.
Thank you.
There's nothing left to say except for an all of Pond's people should.
Amen.
Or let's say like Dan would.
Amen.
What song do we want to go on, Caitlin, from the album?
Let's do the TN Sympathies. We're going to edge goddamn Sheeran, who I don't like, by the way. No, go ahead.
Favorite artist, Ed Sheeran.
I got so mad at Game of Thrones when they put him in that. Anyway. 70.
Nice. 17.
Love isn't
never
the best.
Green.
Bars are the best place to find a lover. So Winterfell is where I go. All right, we'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Begin. All your words fall to the floor and break like china cups.
Hey, y'all, it's me, Immigrant. Next week on GCF, Kevin and Caroline are doing a very special edition of the Hunt for the Best Christian Song of All Time with an old friend. A friend, everyone loves him. Everyone knows him. He's been on the show more than once. And at this point, it's like, okay, you're having this guy on at least 3 times in the same year. Can't give Amy a little piece of that pie? I'm still relegated to the actress, whatever. Amy, not bitter. Anyway, they're doing a very special edition of the Hunt for the Best Christian Song of All Time. You're not going to want to miss it. It's good as hell. Amy's not bitter, but Amy Mungrant is over and out.
Oh, hi, y'all. It's me, Amy Grant, coming back for just one thing. It's deadly quiet in my house. I'm trying not to wake the kids. God, I can't believe they still live with us. But I said next week. I meant 2 weeks from now. 2 weeks from now. Next week's Thanksgiving. Kevin and Caroline are taking off for Thanksgiving. There's not going to be a new show for Thanksgiving Wednesday. Y'all, there will be one for Friday on GCF Second Service, but not for next Wednesday. So 2 weeks from now, Kevin and Caroline are going to be there doing all that stuff I talked about. But not next week. 2 weeks from now. All right? Y'all cool? Okay. I got to go to bed. Amy's so tired. Okay, hey, motherfucking Grant, over now.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.